Continuing our basic training for Christians, we've come into the new series of Bible study from A to Z. And we've done a few already in the letter alphabet of A. We're up to angels now in our book that we're using. We're referencing from the Where to Find It in the Bible, the ultimate A to Z resource. It's by Ken Anderson. I highly recommend that. It's a very good resource for reference, kind of like the Strong's Concordance. With the Strong's, you can go in by finding the words, but this one you can go in by finding the different subject matters. And the subject matter we're in right now is angels. As we spoke of earlier, we're already covered some of the basics with angels, and even some of the misteachings about the angels in chapter 6 of Genesis, about how that some had believed that the angels came down and had kids by earthly women or human women, which is a fallacy that did not occur. Misinterpretation of the scriptures and a misinterpretation of the use of the term sons of God. But now let's get on into the things that are actually listed in our reference book that we're using. Some of the categories that are in there. So let's go with some of these. We won't hit all of them, but let's pick it right up here in the first one I got listed. Genesis chapter 18. About the angels that appeared to Abraham. Now we spoke of how the term angels or the word angels can represent several different things. It can represent a cherubim, a seraphim, an archangel, or merely a messenger. Because you always need to refer to scriptures, find out what it is pertaining to, whether it is a celestial being that he's talking about, or whether it's just a human being that has been given a task. In the book of Revelation, which we will get to that as we go through the study of angels, how it speaks of the pastors of the different churches being identified as being angels. That's how it's translated in the King James Version. But it would be messengers, actually pastors of the churches, is how they speak. But here it's very curious, the way it's being used here, these messengers that are sent in a third one of the messengers. Well, let's get right into it and you'll see how it unfolds. In Genesis chapter 18, let's pick it right up in verse 1. And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. See, the Lord appeared to him. So this is speaking about a human manifestation of Jesus Christ prior to him coming down here and taking on flesh and living amongst us some 33 years. So he was able to take on a humanly body in appearance and appear and interact with individuals, as he's doing here. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground and said, My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will fetch a morsel of bread, and comfort ye your hearts, after that ye shall pass on. For therefore are ye come to your servant. And they said, So do as thou hast said. And Abraham hastened into the tent, unto Sarah, and said, Make ready quickly 3 measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes upon the hearth. And Abraham ran unto the herd and fetched a calf tender and good and gave it unto a young man, and he hasted to dress it, and he took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. Notice they're eating. That's why I'm going through all this and reading all this. A fine meal that Abraham prepared for these that are identified as angels, that are messengers, that are in here, he says, three men. Lo, three men stood. But we know it was the Lord, it was one of those three. As it continues, and they said unto him, "Where is Sarah thy wife?" And he said, "Behold, in the tent." And he said, "I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life, and lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son." And Sarah heard it in the tent door which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, "After I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also?" Notice it's lowercase L for Lord, talking about Abraham, her husband. And the Lord said unto Abraham, "Wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which am old?" See, the Lord said to Abraham. So he's identifying one of these as being the Lord that is sitting there and having a meal with them. And knowing exactly what Sarah is thinking, every thought in her, because he knows everything all the time, everywhere. Is anything too hard for the Lord? "At the time appointed I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son." And Sarah denied, saying, "I laughed not, for she was afraid." And he said, "Nay, but thou didst laugh." And the men rose up from thence and looked toward Sodom. And Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. And the Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him." And the Lord said, "Because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which is come unto me, and if not, I will know." And the men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom, and Abraham stood yet before the Lord. And Abraham drew near and said, "Wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked?" Notice, the two men left, but the one they identified as being three men, because Jesus Christ took on that physical form, was actually able to sit down and have a meal with him, stayed there with Abraham. Because we know as this account continues, well, let's go ahead and read right on through it, so it all continuity's sake, as they say. "And Abraham drew near and said, Wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Peradventure there be 50 righteous within the city. Wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked. That be far from thee, shall not the judge of all the earth do right?" And the Lord said, "If I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes." And Abraham answered and said, "Behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes. Peradventure that there shall lack 5 of the 50 righteous, will thou destroy all the city for lack of 5? And he said, "If I find there 40 and 5, I will not destroy it." And he spake unto him yet again and said, "Peradventure there shall be 40 found there." And he said, "I will not do it for 40's sake." And he said unto him, "Oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak." He just kept working and kept working, trying to help them out there. And he continues, "Peradventure there shall 30 be found there." And he said, "I will not do it if I find 30 there." And he said, "Behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord. Peradventure there shall be 20 found there." And he said, "I will not destroy it for 20's sake." And he said, "Oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak yet but this once. Peradventure 10 shall be found there." And he said, "I will not destroy it for 10's sake." And the Lord went his way. As soon as he had left communing with Abraham, and Abraham returned unto his place. That was such an awesome event for Abraham to experience. to be able to be right there with a incarnation of Jesus Christ and have that conversation, have a meal with Him, be able to walk around with Him like that. That's awesome. Now, let's see how those two other angels, because here it identifies them. Note in 18, it calls them men. But notice here in chapter 19, and there came two angels to Sodom at even. The angels are the two that we left off over in verse 22 of chapter 18. And the men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom. So they identify them as men over here. And over here, in verse 19, they are angels that have taken on the appearance of men. And there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom, and Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, "Behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and you shall rise up early and go on your ways." And they say, "Nay, but we will abide in the street all night." And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him and entered into his house. And he made them a feast and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, "Where are the men which came in to thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them." Notice they're identifying them and calling them men, because that's the appearance that they've taken on. Now, last time we studied, we heard the description of the cherubims and the seraphims with their massive, beautiful wings, some of them with four wings, some of them with six wings, and how they cover different parts, and how people just faint or fall on their face in fear when they see them. But here you have two angels, identified as angels, that appear as men. So we never know exactly in our walk, as it says in the scriptures, you might encounter an angel and not even know it. Someone who has taken on a human form that you've encountered in a casual way or just in a random situation that appears on the scene, does something spectacular or beneficial or helpful, and then just sort of disappears, and you never know anything about them or hear anything else from them. It just may have been an angel. Many people have talked about having encounters like that, unexplained, and somebody comes in and helps, and nobody knows who it was or ever hear from them again. It could have been an angel taking on human form that the Lord is using to minister to us, to benefit us. As we continue to study, we'll see how we have angels that protect us, how angels look over us, how we're surrounded by angels, how we're protected by angels. But here we can see how these two, because we have to understand, we don't have the detailed descriptions of all the celestial beings. We have the cherubims and the seraphims, yes. We know the archangels are usually very ominous. They're very so powerful that people just cower and fear or collapse or faint or kneel down and start to worship. Is it because of their beauty? Because the angels that were there at the resurrection were so beautiful and bright and light, just in beautiful, bright, white light. And these appeared as normal human forms, because that's why these guys had the desire to, as it says, to know them. They want to have relations with them, you may say, because of this sinful city. And they saw some strangers that they hadn't had their way with yet, and it appealed to them. As it continues in verse 6, "And Lot went out at the door unto them, and shut the door after him, and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly." He went outside and told them, "Guys, don't do so wickedly." At least Lot had the courage to step on up. He went ahead, you know, first thing was, hey, come on, get in here and wash your feet and you can stay the night. Then he got to thinking, well, at least better feed these guys. So then he went ahead and made a feast. He's still not fully understanding who these are or the power and the ability that they hold or can display. Because he's going out and trying to defend the two that are inside. It's a good testimony of his bravery, to go out and face those people. In verse 8, behold now, I have two daughters, which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing. For therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. So concerned for them too that he was willing to give his own two daughters up. And they said, stand back. And they said, again, this one fellow came in to sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. Now will we deal worse with thee than with them. So the crowd threatened him, saying that he was just a stranger anyway. They come in and decided to stay in their town. And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. But the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them and shut to the door. So those two guys, the angels, rescued Lot, looking out for Lot. That's why they came there, is to help Lot, to get Lot and his family out of there before the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding towns. The reason, they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. Just a small display of their power to be able to strike everyone there with blindness. And the men said unto Lot, notice here they're calling them men once again. Starts out over there in verse 1 of chapter 19, and there came two angels. Now over here they're identifying them as men. So it gets you kind of curious. Now are these men that have been given special abilities like the prophets, and they're not actual celestial beings? Or are they celestial beings that have taken on the body of a man? And the men said unto Lot, hast thou here any besides, son-in-law, and thy sons, and thy daughters, and whatsoever thou hast in the city? Bring them out of this place, for we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxen great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord hath sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out, and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters. So you see, Lot has a bigger family than just those two daughters that were at home still, the two younger ones that were virgins. He had other daughters. And said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and set him without the city. So they were able to just get a hold of him. And just instantaneously, they took them right out of there because, you know, they were packing their bags, wanting to take this, wanting to take that, whatever. And he says, no, there's enough of that. They got them and they took them right outside the city. And it came to pass when they had brought them forth abroad that he said, escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. It's like, well, why didn't they take them all the way to the mountain? He took them right to the outside of the city. This was another little test. This was a challenge for Lot and his family. What would they do? Would they take that advantage, take that opportunity of salvation, to be saved from the impending judgment, or would they not? And Lot said unto them, Oh, not so, my Lord. Behold now, thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life, and I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me, and I die. Behold now, this city is near to flee unto, and it is a little one. Oh, let me escape thither. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live. And he said unto him, See, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also, that I will not overthrow this city for the which thou hast spoken. Asked, can I go to that little town over there? Sure. And they allowed him to head for that little town. Haste not, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou be come thither. Therefore the name of the city was called Zorah. The sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zorah. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. Notice it was not the angels that did this thing. The Lord rained this out of heaven. The angels were there to scope things out, to get Lot and his family out of there to safety. And they did that. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground. But his wife, whose wife? Lot's wife, looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. So as this event started to take place, she kind of had that regret. Well, wait, I got this. I left that, or I really loved that, and looked back, turned her head away from the pathway she was supposed to be on, looked back into her old life, and that cost her her life. She became a pillar of salt. And Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord, and he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the plain, and behold, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace. And it came to pass, when God destroyed the cities of the plain, that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overflow, when he overthrew the cities in the which Lot dwelt. So there we see how these angels were able to come in and be able to announce this event to Abraham, and then be able to go and help Lot come out of that city. So they were there as messengers, because the word angels means messengers. And they were there as ministers, because they were there to assist and to protect and to guide and to benefit Lot and Abraham. So those are some of the things, some of the characteristics of angels that we would be discussing. Is they can take on the humanly form, and they can actually sit down and have a meal, and they can benefit you. They have powers, such as being able to strike all them guys blind instantly. So it's very fascinating when you go in through here. There's been a lot of research done on angels. But it can get very confusing, because we've only been given bits and pieces through here, and how to apply the proper bits and pieces to the right category of the celestial beings is very difficult. So we really don't know how many different ones there are. We've been given some examples of them, as we've discussed, and these here are very fascinating ones, I believe, because to be able to see them come down and take on a form that most people would look and just think that they were normal human people. But they were not. They were actually celestial beings in a human form, right there interacting with mankind. But I just couldn't stop once I got into that account there of Sodom and Gomorrah. I had to go through that one, because it's so fascinating to see how the angels interacting with Abraham and Lot in that setting. And then you see later on how they appear to Zechariah and Isaiah, and how ominous they are, and then Gabriel appearing to Elizabeth and Mary and so forth. And we'll get into those as we continue here. And maybe it'll help us understand that we are not alone in this world, that God has so many ministers to us, you might say, that are around us, that are available to help us. When we fully trust in Him, that He will utilize that and use those wondrous creatures or creations that He has to benefit us, as having that sky full of angels that Tyrande Green sings about, and benefit us in that way and protect us. But we are totally out of time, so I'll quit jabbering and let's go ahead and pray. Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for Your Word. It's so fascinating when we dig deep into the Scriptures and we start putting this clue and that clue together, and we get more and more of an understanding of how You're right there with us all the time, being able to protect us in so many different ways and to guide us and to assist us. And it's just awesome. And we thank You so much for that. And help us to always be eager to serve You in whatever way You put us out there to be served. And please keep us hungry to dig deep into Your Scriptures so that we can grow closer to You through that. Thank You. As we pray in Jesus' precious holy name, amen.